Okay, item four.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for volunteering, and good luck.
Commissioners, item five is...
I'm sorry, item five.
Is a presentation for the commission's review of the Sportsman's Lodge Restaurant and Banquet Center. This was a previously declined nomination from 2002. It made its way to city council, and in 2006, the council decided to not declare the property an historic monument, but adopted a condition of approval relative to the proposed project that the Cultural Heritage Commission would comment on the proposed landscaping plans for the new project to ensure that it included a permanent landscaped garden area that recalled the history and significance of the Sportsman's Lodge. With that, I will introduce Ben Besley of Midwood Capital and Tiffany Beamer from Olin Landscape Architects to present the project. Oh, is it not on the laptop? Oh. Oh, do we have a flash drive maybe that might have it? It was on the agenda. If we could pull up the agenda, I know it was linked there. I think that was still there.
We have hard copies as well.
Oh, good. Perfect.
I remember receiving that one.
All right, is this on? Good. All right, good morning. My name is Ben Besley. I'm with Midwood Investment and Development, and I'm the representative of the property owner. I'm here today with Tiffany Beamer, our landscape designer with Olin. And I want to give you a little bit of context about Midwood's involvement in this project, and then I'll turn it over to Tiffany to better describe how we've arrived at the design that we're here presenting to you this morning. Midwood is an investment firm that has been in business for over 90 years. The founder of the firm, whose grandson currently runs the firm, made the initial loan to build the Sportsman's Lodge Hotel in 1961. So the company has actually had a financial interest, not in the property that we're looking at today, which is the event center, but the hotel next door. It's something that the company has, in other words, been involved in for a long time. A little more than a year ago, we made a transaction to purchase the remainder of the property from a previous developer. That developer had put in place, you know, a design and had approved conditions of approval, which is the reason we're here with you today. But the context is that Midwood is an investment firm that both owns and operates and develops retail and mixed-use projects. We've been doing it for a long time, and we're very excited to bring forward just a very special and beautiful new development to the Studio City neighborhood. That development is landscape first, and I'll let Tiffany describe that more. And we look forward to your feedback. We've spent a good amount of time with the Office of Historic Resources understanding how to really approach this condition, because it has, you know, to talk about the history of a property that has, you know, so many different people have different connections to over different decades is part of the challenge, but it's something that hopefully we've done some justice to, and look forward to your comments and feedback.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Tiffany Beamer. I'm a landscape architect with Olin, based here in Los Angeles. I'm going to go through this pretty quickly since we have limited time, but happy to take questions here at the end. So this is where our site is located. We're at the intersection of Ventura and Coldwater Canyon. You see the hotel where the swimming pool in the center. The hotel is on the right-hand side of the image, and the existing garden is sort of in the middle here. And that's what I'm here to describe, is the transformation of the landscape of this project. to celebrate the history of the site. This place, it's been really interesting learning about the site and researching the history. It has been an incredible social anchor, an oasis in the valley for decades, many, many decades, and we have identified 1955 to 65 as the period of significance. It's had an incredible magnetism over time where people would come, they would learn to fish, they would have fundraisers, they would gather, and what struck me the most is that all of these activities take place in and around the landscape. So these water features in the gardens of the site in these images really are very strong elements, and so that's what we were putting forward in our in the new vision for the project. The reason that we're here today is to discuss that the approach to the landscape, the water features, the vegetation, pedestrian amenities, to commemorate the look and feel of the original Sportsman's Lodge, and then also to touch on the plaque monument display case commemoration piece too at the end of the presentation. So for us, there were the most defining elements of the proposed landscape really come from this social energy that the site has had over so many decades. And so what we've done is we divided those things into two categories. There are natural sort of elemental categories like water, vegetation, and materials, wood, stone, boulders, things like that. And then the elements that generate social energy, so pedestrian spaces, gathering spaces, seating areas. And we see all of these elements come together in some of these wonderful historic photos where we have people engaging with the landscape, the incredible prominence of big, beautiful tree canopy, adjacency to the water, you know, whether they're fishing or having a fine meal. There's a direct connection to the landscape over time. These are images of the site as it is today. There are incredible, there are a lot of really beautiful trees on the site, many of which we're protecting in place or investing in transplanting. But some of the elements on the project are, you know, some of the vegetation is a bit overgrown, the gathering spaces are not as, I guess, vibrant as they once were. But what we see wonderful things that are happening today on the site, and they are design elements that we're pulling forward in our project. Little details like the way that the bridges cross the water features, we have an incredible shadow line. The prominence of stone and boulders and the dark surface of the water that moves in a really interesting way and makes it feel as if those features are infinitely deep when, of course, they are not. Garden areas weave throughout, and again, this tree canopy is prominent consistently through. It's really this wonderful oasis. So we see this in a number of different site photos here. And then also tables and chairs where people gather. Once again, they're adjacent to the garden, they're adjacent to the water features, and they're tucked in under this beautiful canopy of trees. In particular, there is a cluster of existing redwoods that are really beautiful and amazing, and we're working to protect them in their place, and we're going to build a deck around them. It's about 3,600 square feet for outdoor dining. People can gather under these majestic trees without disturbing them. And so that energy, that social energy at that heart of the project, these redwoods really are the heart of the project, which I'm hoping that you'll appreciate as we move into the site plan, which I'll show you here in a moment. But again, this relationship of big trees, landscape, and water feature, the way that the pedestrian connections cross those features, these are the elemental pieces that we're pulling forward. So this is a diagrammatic site plan, of course, and the area that we're discussing are numbered 2, 3, and 4, so it's that L-shaped plaza in between the building footprints. I'm going to try to point here. Yeah, good. You can see that we have water feature that extends from the southeast. There's two large features here really at the heart. And this is that redwood cluster in the deck. And then the features extend all the way to the north end. It will move from southeast to north towards the Los Angeles River to give a nod to that connection to the river. You see that all of the features are sort of wrapped in planting, covered in tree canopy, and we think that this it anchors the heart of the site. So the landscape really is the organizing element here. Really quickly, just some of the natural precedents, so they can give you an idea of look and feel of the materials we're inspired by. You know, canyon landscapes, riverbed landscapes, and then also some of the social components of projects that we have worked on before, too, where we have people that gather under a canopy of trees. It's really a simple concept, and it's something that's a really wonderful element in this landscape. So images here from our work at the Getty, the Barnes Foundation, and then on the lower right-hand corner, this is a precedent image of a water feature that was not designed by Olin, but by GGN, and we were really inspired by this. The topography of the water basins itself will have a texture and a topography to it so that the water will move, it will be dark, it'll give that sense of depth that we see in the historic photos. And so altogether, the palette altogether is this beautiful sort of beige blonde stone paving, peroba decking or ipe decking, which will fade to a beautiful silvery gray, and just a bouquet of native California plant material, adapted material to give color and texture throughout the year. So this is a conceptual rendering of the heart of that project, so that sort of knuckle of the L, the plaza that I described earlier. These are the redwoods, the existing redwoods that are being protected in place, the large dining element deck sort of wrapping those trees and floating over the two largest features. It's truncated a bit in this view because we're looking across the garden, but we have the large feature here, the bridge connection here, and the other half of that largest feature right there. We're also bringing in a number of other canopy trees with colors and textures so that we have seasonal interest throughout the year and dappled shade to sit under. And this is a view looking north at the northern leg of that L of the garden. Again, we see some of the narrower features, the opportunities to cross those features and interact with the garden and the landscape, and the use of these warm materials and the boulders as well. And then finally, I'll try to do this in 40 seconds, the location of the commemorative site feature. We've placed it at what is we think is sort of the 100% corner of the project. This is the main entry into the project off of Ventura Boulevard, where any pedestrian traffic that's coming in here, people that are moving down into the garden, will engage with it. And right now we're imagining that it's another one of these large stone features, one or two of these large boulder features with a really beautiful plaque that's mounted on it with text that's to do with the frontage of the Coldwater Canyon, the Los Angeles River, its history as it evolved from the Hollywood trout farms to the restaurant in the 40s. And I just want to show you two more images. These are snapshots from our model. It gives you, this is rough, but it gives you a sense of the ratios of water, which is rendered here in blue, to garden in green and hardscape in gray. It's almost 40% of the site is either water or garden, with this generous dining deck here, which will be under the redwoods. Thank you.
Does that conclude your
yes.
presentation? You know, one of the things that, let's see, I have a speaker, you have to bear with me. Eric Previn, you want to speak?
Yeah, I'd like to hear you. You want me to go?
Well, I want you to go and then we will.
Nice job. Nice presentation. It's a little hard to
speak
grasp.
Your name. Yep. Speak your name one more time for the record.
Oh, yeah. My name is Eric Previn. I'm from Studio City.
Okay.
Again, on the Neighborhood Council, but speaking on behalf of myself and reacting to what we just saw. You know, nice work at kind of dialing it in, but then when you finally get to the presentation, it's a little hard for me to read, just being honest. You know, the structures look different, and the L shape on the western side of the drawing was white, but I think that's where the old firehouse that was acquired would be. And wouldn't that be a part of the project? If not, anyway, I think what I'm saying is that I like the idea of retaining the water. It's a little hard for me to read how it looks in relation to the structure. This is looking at a landscaping plan without the structures in place, so it's hard for me to do. Ordinarily, the landscaping is dialed in on a site plan that's been finalized. I don't know. I would say that a plaque is an interesting way to commemorate, but I think that some of the architectural details of the hotel could be incorporated with, but again, I'm flying a little blind on this, to be honest. So I'm excited that they're moving forward and are at least talking about keeping some of the vibrancy. The thing that works at that place is there are little pockets in between the hotel and the event center that groups gather in and take photographs. And so it was laid out for events and family-style celebrations over the years. This is a different use, I think. It's an elevated dining terrace, must be for the people who are buying food at a restaurant. I don't know, it hasn't been specified. That's different, but it's interesting. And I like the idea of retaining the trees. That's critical. That's what makes Studio City great. And that's what makes Sportsman's Lodge property special. And the proximity to the river plan would be nice to see something, because I think the way that's landscaped is going to matter, because I know that the city and the mayor have an initiative to make the river vibrant as well. So I would just simply thank Tiffany and Mr. Besley for sharing this and sharing more as they develop it. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Spindler.
Yes, all right. The Ghetto Puppet speaking as a special guest speaker, yeah. So we know that first of all, we'd like to thank the developers for lining the pockets of Mr. Kerkorian. You did a good job, yo. Yeah, we love. See, I come from the ghetto, so I have a different view of corruption than most of you, yo. I really admire corruption. I like drug dealing. I like extortion and bribery and kidnapping and shit like that, because that's the way we do things down in the 8th and 9th District. But this place here, Studio City, look real white to me and real nice. And of course, white people like fake rivers and fake lakes and fake trees and all that fake shit that looks like nature. But in reality, Ventura Boulevard, and I drove down took the red line, and then I took the orange line bus, and then that MTA bus down Ventura Boulevard, ain't nothing left. It's all been carved up by developers from Cahuenga all the way to the border of Encino. It's been completely demolished and destroyed by developers who build all that cookie cutter box shit. They even got rid of that little nice little restaurant that you didn't protect. What was it called there, Foo? That little place we used to all eat when we kids, yeah. See, you could have culturally protected this property, but because you got paid off, you didn't do so, and now these developers are going to chop, chop, chop that shit up. So I'll tell you a little trick about the trees. You know, somebody told me this the other day. You go at the base of the tree, and you dump chlorine into the roots, and then it kills the tree. And then you can come back and get a permit to demolish it, and then you can build more square footage. That's what I hear. It's just a rumor, yo. Don't look at me like I'm just the messenger from God. So yes, keep fucking everything up for the white people. Thank you very much.
I want you to know we value your First Amendment rights. So I have some questions. I'm looking at the site plan here, and there's a number one is the existing hotel, and I'm assuming that you're going to remove the existing hotel and build a new hotel?
No.
No?
No.
You're going to remodel the existing hotel?
Probably.
Probably. Okay, so then there are basically 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 buildings that surround the landscape. I've never been to this facility, so I have no sense of it. I know Ken Bernstein knows it very well. What are those buildings? What happens in those buildings that surround the water element?
Those are new retail buildings.
Oh, those are new buildings.
Yes, I'm sorry if we didn't make that clear, but what is currently there would be removed and would be replaced with new structures.
Okay. Okay, so now let's talk about why you're here. And Lambert, you may want to chime in on this. This is my understanding, at one point, there was an application made to make the Sportsman Lodge a historic monument.
Correct.
And the councilman at the time said they nixed it and made an agreement with the developer to not do the monument, but they said the condition of doing that, the trade-off would be, I want you to refurbish or replenish.
Would you like me to read the full text? I'm happy to do that.
Please.
So this was a voluntary condition, so this is part of Wendy Gruhl's motion, who was the then councilwoman for this district. In accordance with the owner's voluntary commitment, the owner shall provide a covenant and agreement in favor of the city, providing that in consideration of the denial of this application, referring to the historic cultural monument application, the Cultural Heritage Commission shall review building plans for any new project proposing to redevelop the property to ensure that such new project's plans include a permanent landscaped garden area not to exceed 1/2 acre, featuring landscaping, waterscaping, and pedestrian amenities. The garden area of the new project shall be designed by a licensed landscape architect in consultation with the City Council office, where the property is located, to commemorate the look and feel of this former Sportsman's Lodge garden. The garden area shall be open to the public during business hours, shall be conveniently accessible from Ventura Boulevard, and shall feature a plaque, monument, or display case commemorating the history of the Sportsman's Lodge and surrounding community. The garden area may be integrated into the new project and may satisfy in whole or part applicable city landscaping or open space requirements, if any, for the new project. So that was the full text of the council motion adopting this, quote, voluntary commitment.
Okay, so how come they're not talking to the council office and they're talking to us?
I believe they were in consultation with the council office, and we heard from the council office that they were generally in support of the direction of the project. So the second piece of that is consultation with the Cultural Heritage Commission.
The council requested it.
Well, it's part of this motion, but they have previously, prior to today, they have been working with Council District 2 on this design.
Okay. Do you have a site plan of the original green space, water space, waterscape, and landscape, and the existing buildings that were on the site prior to these gray buildings?
It's being displayed.
Yeah, I have a series of images. This is a figure ground. So here on the left-hand side is the current condition. The buildings are rendered in black, and the garden and water spaces are all rendered here in green on the left.
And what were those buildings used for?
They were and currently are used as an event center and for dining.
So it was a restaurant and event center?
Yes.
Okay. And then what are the other diagrams to the right?
The diagram in the center is the layout as approved when the project, I believe, last went to a hearing that involved the design, which I believe was in 2014, November 2014. I know there was a subsequent hearing, but I don't think it affected this layout. So I'll just say this is a design from 2014. From the approval in 2014 of the new retail development.
And then on the right is the proposal that we're putting forward today, which makes more contiguous and clear the garden space in the center of the site.
Okay, what you fail to show in your diagrams is that originally the garden space and waterscape were between the hotel and the event center. Right? You can just see there wasn't buildings blocking the hotel to the garden, right? The hotel was sort of back ended to the garden. Is that right?
The way the property is configured now, as you can see on the left side, the garden is adjacent to the hotel property. It's not accessible. There is a wall and some pretty significant growth between the two. So in order to access the hotel from the event center or the event center from the hotel, you have to walk out through a parking lot or on the sidewalk. So there
is that something new, or is that something that's always been there?
It's been there, I'm sure, for 30 or 40 years.
Commissioners, one thing that Ken Bernstein did want to mention that maybe something that hasn't been completely clear is that these have been two separate properties. Now, it sounds like the ownership now has a common interest in both, but historically, these were separate properties. The scope of the historic monument nomination that came forward was strictly for the event center. There was not a claim that the hotel was historically significant, but that the event center was in part due to the evolving role that it played as a community center in the San Fernando Valley, the social and cultural history related to Hollywood, the evolving role of this site beginning as a really a fishing facility and then becoming a major event center in the San Fernando Valley. But the hotel was developed later in the 1960s, I believe, and was really a separate property. And so the way this evolved was really quite distinct.
Okay. So when I go back and I look at the historic photos on this property, like the beginning photo where there's a man fishing and there's this wonderful little bridge and all of the historic photos, I get a feeling of Disneyland. Or I grew up in Orange County, and I used to ride my bike to the early Knott's Berry Farm, and there was a lake there, and it had a very similar kind of aesthetic to it that this has. And I don't get that with what you're proposing. There's no Disneyland in your proposal. And I know that as a landscape architect, that may offend you, but I think the aesthetic here is way off to what it was. And it also appears that the water element, in the pictures that you have, the historic pictures, the water element looks rather large. And it doesn't look so much in those photographs that you showed, or those diagrams, but the water element seems much larger than what it's become. And I don't know, that deck looks like a really giant deck, and it looks so not Disneyland. And the whole thing just leaves me cold. I don't think you've picked up the character of what the original character of this environment was. You've got these ladies with these little hats. You don't have any ladies with little hats. But all kidding aside, I think you missed it. I think you just missed it by a mile in terms of your sort of your initial jump to what you thought this should be. It's been modernized. And I don't know, from what Mert Lambert read, it seems to me that this needs to be, have the same character as before, and it doesn't. What do you have to say to that?
What you're describing is pretty much where...
Say your name, please.
Ben Besley with Midwood. And what you're describing and how you're describing the property is really how I and our firm Midwood started thinking about this space. And it has been through kind of very carefully reading the condition as written and talking a lot with Ken and Lambert and Melissa about, how to think about this, that we've come to the design that we have. And I think a few points that I've kind of thought about along the way is, first of all, those pictures are all from different decades, I'm guessing. And what looked like what looks today whimsical was not whimsical when it was built, it was what it was. And so there's a part of this that and again, this is what we've talked about with the staff and what we've thought about ourselves, is we can't, there is an approach where we just go back and build it exactly it is today. Which, by the way, we couldn't. Water conservation, ADA, there's so many building codes and health department codes that would not allow what's there today to be built again, ever. So that's a challenge, but that's sort of secondary. I think that the first challenge is to really understand what is, again, to address the condition, how do we commemorate it? And one thing that we thought to ourselves and we shared with the staff is that, there are so many features going on here. The use is changing, so it's not a large open event center. It's a retail shopping center where people will be shopping and be sort of spending time outside. That the best we could hope to do is that when somebody who'd been here in the 40s or the 60s or the 80s walked onto the property, they saw two or three things where they said, "I remember this. I remember a boulder next to the water. I remember that, heavy shadow line under a bridge. I remember this kind of eclectic, collection of trees, which are not native to Southern California and in some ways, don't belong here. We need to, right? So we're trying to capture all those things, and I think if the suggestion is to try to make this look like it is 60 years old, we would certainly take that feedback and do our best. But I think that that's the challenge as we've been thinking about it, is we want to commemorate it, a significant central water feature, preserving trees, and really, and what makes, I mean, these buildings, as old as they are have been modified so many times that, again, people coming who spent time here in different decades would remember certain different things themselves. It is to try to, again, sort of find a few of these things that commemorate it so that when people bring their own experiences to it from the things that they've done here, very significant life events, that it is commemorative, not replicating. So that was our thought process in getting to where we are.
Again, I think you missed the boat. I really think you missed the boat. I think maybe you hired the wrong landscape architect, excuse me. I think that this doesn't have, I mean, I understand the EPA and all that. I'm an architect, and I understand all of those kinds of issues. But I know with talented people, you can create something that has, it's not going to look exactly like this, but it's going to have a feeling that is closer to this than what you have now, which is not close at all, other than the fact you have boulders and water. That's easy. It's all the stuff around the boulders and water that I'm objecting to. It doesn't have the feeling of the Sportsman Lodge that exists in these photographs. That's all I'm going by. It was never there. We could ask Ken Bernstein what he thinks, because he maybe caught a fish there at one point in his life. But you know, he grew up there. So I just think that this falls way short. I'd like to hear what my other commissioners feel about this, but I'm totally, totally against what you're proposing.
If I may, sorry. I very much appreciate the feedback, and as everything that you're suggesting, you know, as many details as we can get from other commissioners that we can look to incorporate that would get us closer to that will be very helpful.
And one thing I might say, though, one thing I should say, is the landscape palette I'm okay with. The landscape palette, I think, is good. I mean, it looks good from your presentation. It's the hard stuff.
Okay.
You know, it's the hard stuff, the deck, the bridges, you know, all of that kind of thing, I think, is what's sort of going afoul here. You know, I don't think the landscape palette, I think the landscape palette is appropriate in today's water-conscious world and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I think that part is successful. I think it's some of the other stuff that is not as successful. And I'd like to hear the other commissioner's opinion on this.
President Barron, Kimberly, Deputy City Attorney. Quick question. I just want to clarify, is public comment closed at this point? And
yes,
you're
it
proceeding
is
into deliberation?
Public comment is now closed. Thank you. Barry, you want to speak? You're always good at this.
I'll come up with it. I think what you're missing in general, the way you're describing
me?
What it is that you're feeling.
Okay.
And it's sort of, it's, you know, a note which I made. Is looking at the original site plan, looking at the images of the historic, mm-hmm. it had a natural presence.
Right.
It sort of felt like a sportsman lodge. You know, you went into the woods by the pond, you did fishing, you went archery hunting, whatever. And I think I like what you're doing, but it doesn't have that natural presence anymore. It's very much a very nice stream and sort of set of decks and path through a commercial development. So I think that may be what Richard's sort of getting at. The two things which I noticed, which sort of are disturbing to me, I'm fine with, you know, what you got in the palette, I think is beautiful, is as I go by, drive down Ventura Boulevard, my memory, and looking at it again on Google Maps, is of that natural presence coming out to the street.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see that at all. I see two trees at the street, and I see a big parking lot. So I want this to come out, you know, so that I know driving down the boulevard that something special, something natural, something different is happening here. And I want to take that to the other side too, that the city is going to a lot of effort, a lot of expense, a lot of time and attention to making the LA River a river.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at your presentation. I'm seeing the back end of a parking lot with some green stuff on it. And I think that really is shortchanging a possible interchange between your site and something which is going to develop to be a fairly beautiful asset for the city. So, yeah, I know it sort of has parking impact. But if at least there could be some way of bringing one's attention beyond the shopping mall back to that natural feature, and sort of even if you can't get there without going through the handicapped spaces, at least engage it so that there's a path from Ventura Boulevard through a mall to the LA River. So again, it gets back to that natural environment, that natural presence, which I think isn't there yet.
Can I respond? The
sure.
No, public.
Oh, excuse me. Okay, pardon me.
Diane, what do you think?
I really would like to defer to you, but the idea that there would be a natural presence on Ventura Boulevard, I think, would be a draw to people to see. I'm not talking about shrubs, I'm talking about trees.
Well, before there was a sort of an opening, where is it? There was a big opening between at Ventura Boulevard where this open space kind of oozes out, yeah. It looks like, onto Ventura Boulevard. So at the very beginning.
Yeah, your first image. Or second image.
Yeah, there. Yeah, whoops, right there. It doesn't show up that well on that line.
I mean, it feels like it's the same scale as the internal knuckle itself. And right now it seems like it's reduced to two palm trees and some nice landscape.
Well, it's not even that. I mean, it's...
They're two green, big green things.
Yeah, two big green things, yeah. Gail?
Well, I'm similar, and I would defer to you and to Commissioner Barron and Commissioner Mulaski on this, but I do remember visiting the Sportsman's Lodge in the 60s. And the thing that I remember, because it was a long time ago, memory is not always reliable, but the thing that I remember were the redwood trees, just a forested area, like Commissioner Mulaski is talking about. It's, you feel like you're going into a sportsman's environment. So to the extent that that could be preserved with the redwoods and the trees, I agree with Commissioner Barron that the palette of the trees seems appropriate. From my memory, though, I don't remember seeing, I didn't get the feeling of a Disneyland type of environment. I didn't get a feeling of large areas of water. But again, this is memory and it's not always reliable. So again, I would defer to the other commissioners on this. I don't have strong feelings one way or the other except about those redwoods and the trees. And I would ask Ken Bernstein too if you had any reflections on that.
Too. Sure. No, thank you, Commissioner. I guess I appreciate all the comments so far. I guess my own view is, and perhaps maybe one or two of the images are from an earlier era that predates my involvement with the site, because my view of it probably is not, I wouldn't necessarily characterize it as a Disneyland environment. I mean, I think you do have, you know, meandering water features and a very natural environment. Redwood trees, as you indicated, the wood presence of the decks, the interaction of the kind of spare event center buildings with that natural environment. But I think a couple of the images that showed maybe the more expansive water features may have been from earlier decades, and I don't know that kind of fully characterizes what it's been in recent decades to the same extent. But that said, I think you do feel that type of natural presence that many of you are reacting to. I think the challenge here, and as we were working with the team on this and preparing to bring this to you, I think there's a recognition on our part, certainly, that first of all, this was declined. It was something that the commission at the time did approve for historic cultural monument status, but it was ultimately declined by the city council. And the project approval has already proceeded. It has gone forward with a set of parameters and assumptions. And the task for the commission at this point is a fairly narrow one, not necessarily to redesign the entire project, but to look at the approach that was taken really in two areas. One is, you know, have those, you know, not to exceed 1/2 acre, is this a landscape garden that features these elements? There's the reference to commemorating the look and feel of the former Sportsman's Lodge garden, first kind of question to look at. And then the second part as well, discussion about a plaque, monument, or display case commemorating the history of the Sportsman's Lodge and the surrounding community. So looking at how the history is commemorated or interpreted on the site. So I think we were looking at this a little bit narrowly, again, less of a holistic design review that we would normally do if the site had historic cultural monument status, and focusing instead on the kind of the landscape elements itself. But I think the commission is within its rights to certainly comment on, does this capture the look and feel? And that's what you've been focusing on. And then focusing as well on the way that the history has been commemorated on the site. Hope that's helpful.
Pilar, do you have any comment?
I have nothing to add.
I've got a question.
Yes.
Yeah, the conditions of approval, Commissioner Malofsky, referred to not to exceed 1/2 acre. Mm-hmm. That's in terms of what was mandated. I'm sure no one would object if you exceeded 1/2 acre by your own willingness and design. What's the area now relative to
that? The area of the courtyard is just over 1/2 acre.
Okay. So,
and
but I think that not to exceed is sort of the minimum threshold.
Yes.
As I sort of understand, yeah. I'll read it.
I want to go back to an image that is of the deck with the water feature sort of in front of the deck, and then a little seating area next to that that's outside of the water feature. Mm-hmm. Yes. So what I'm seeing here, it seems like the you have a upper, this is where the redwood trees are, and you have this wooden deck area that's going to be over the redwood trees, and it's a raised deck. I'm assuming it's going to be at the same level as the of the restaurant that it's backing up to. That what we see in the background is a building, which I assume is a restaurant. Yes, yes.
Most likely, yes.
So then you have in the foreground of the thing that separates the dining area from the water looks like a wall.
Here.
Right? Mm-hmm. It is a wall, right? It's like a wall of basically a fence or a wall. Maybe you can sit on it, I don't know. But it's stepped.
That's right.
And so it just seems like there's very little connection between this seating area and the water. Disregarding the sort of the aesthetic of it, it just seems like if you're sitting out on this deck and you have this water feature, if you're sitting there having a lunch or dinner, you're not even going to know, because your eye level is going to be blocked by this wall of wood that separates the diner from the water.
May I respond?
Please.
So the level of the walls that you're seeing they're a seat wall height. So if when you're seated at those tables, they will not block your view of the water. And one of the reasons, the main reason that deck is elevated is so that we can protect those redwoods in their place. The root balls of those trees are sitting higher than kind of the plane of the rest of the terrace, which is what generated the elevated deck in order to preserve those trees as they are without disturbing them. So that's a large dining deck, that's true. There are other patio areas sprinkled throughout the courtyard, throughout the plaza, that have different adjacencies to the various water features as well.
Well, I agree with you that I understand about redwood trees and roots and the sensitivity to that, and the raising of the deck helps protect the redwood trees. But I think the first reason that the deck is at the height it is because it's at the same floor line as the restaurant, which also makes sense. But I think I disagree with you that if I'm sitting at a table on the other side of that wall, I am not going to see the water.
And I, you know, I dare you to draw a diagram, a section through there, and put a person in a chair and show the sightlines to the water. There's no, you're not going to see the water. And I think you're missing a really, really important opportunity to connect the diner to the water. And also, sort of the aesthetic of this wall just is so blah. I mean, I really think... Well, you've heard what I've thought.
Commissioners, just a suggestion to consider as we determine how best to proceed, and again, recognizing that the commission's role is fairly limited and narrow, and you know, we're coming in collectively kind of at the end of a process here. It might be helpful, based on what I'm hearing from some of the commissioners' comments, you're all grappling with maybe not having been to the site recently and experiencing the look and feel of the site as it's been in recent decades. One possibility would be, with the consent of the applicant and property owner, to organize a site visit, either for a subcommittee or potentially even the full commission if the site is accessible. We could determine that, but perhaps to continue the item, try to bring it back quickly so as not to hold this up, but to have an opportunity for at least some of the commissioners to visit the property and have that site inspection then inform the comments.
Are we voting on this? Is this something that we actually vote on in the end?
Yes, so a motion is required. However, at this juncture, I would recommend reopening public comment in case there are any additional members of the public who would like to comment on subsequent comments that were made after you closed public comment the first time.
Do I really have to open up public comment?
Yeah.
How about people that have already spoken? Do they get to speak again?
So I would limit the scope of the public comment to comments that were made subsequent to the initial time that you closed public comment.
Well, you know how that works.
Okay. Well, that's my recommendation.
Okay. So I would like to postpone voting on this and to take up Ken's idea of creating either a subcommittee or, if possible, to have the full commission go out and see this, or maybe commissioners can go. Is this area approachable? Is it available for us just to drive there and walk in?
Yeah, I'd like to just have some advance notice to let the staff know they're organizing and running events there all the time. So we didn't want to make sure there isn't a luncheon or a wedding happening at the time.
Oh. You have weddings there?
We do.
Okay, so we will organize with you. There's no time frame on this?
No, there's no specific.
There's no clock?
No.
Yes, okay, so...
Can I make
he
a...
He has one.
Hmm?
The developer has a clock.
Yeah, the developer has a clock, yeah.
Could I make a request also? This is Commissioner Kamard. In light of the comments about that terrace, could you provide us with your actual plans so that we could see, instead of just the images, the actual plans? Yes?
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 Okay. Of course.
Thank you.
Well, I'd like you to go back to the drawing board and redesign this terrace and this wall. I won't vote to approve this right now as it stands. I won't. I don't know what the other commissioners are, but I won't vote to approve this. I mean, there's four other commissioners. They may think it's the greatest thing ever, but, you know. So where we're at now is we're going to come out and look at it, at least some of us, mm-hmm. and then you're going to reschedule to come back and see us. Mm-hmm. I propose that you redesign this terrace wall minimally. That would be the minimum thing you would do. And come back and see us at another time, and we'll go through this all over again. You're not looking at me like you're happy.
I'm indifferent. I think the point is that this is again the conversation. If I may, I don't know when I'm
yes,
allowed
please,
to speak
please.
And when I'm not.
Please.
So the challenge here, and this is again the challenge that we have been working with staff on, is that first of all, what is the scope of the condition, right? We're not, this is not a design review. It's a review of the design, but it's not, I think what we've anticipated to the comment about what's going on Ventura Boulevard. If we'd known that we were going to be talking about Ventura Boulevard, we would have brought the plans for Ventura Boulevard. This is, the focus is on, we understood to be the garden. And the other thing that is very challenging about this is, what's the definition of commemorate? Because to some commissioners who've been there in the 60s and remember it from the 70s and the 80s, that water feature has moved all over this property. So I welcome additional feedback. I truly welcome the feedback we've had today. I think it's actually a very good point about the visibility of the water from the deck. We need to study that ourselves. But I just want to make sure that we have, and that we all agree on what the scope of this sort of, you know, of what it is we're trying to accomplish here, because we, you know, commemorate is not a hard and defined term.
Yeah, well, you're stuck on the word commemorate, and I'm stuck on two words that I think is what
look and feel.
Look and feel. That's what I'm stuck on. Okay, so that's part of our problem. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm looking at look and feel. I'm willing to back off of my Disneyland comment based on what I've heard here today. But I'm not willing to back off on this deck, okay? So for me, the deck is a sticking point. The deck is a no vote for me. So try to figure that out, you know? I'm willing to sort of pull back some of my orneriness about the Disneyland and hopefully that I will have an opportunity to go out and see what's there and get a better feel for it. But I think the deck is just, I don't know what Barry thinks about it. Barry is a very talented designer and has lots of opinions. Barry, what do you think about this deck?
Commissioner Milofsky, I keep looking at that image of the deck. I look at the other image that you have of sort of looking down, further down in the commercial development with the rocks on both sides. And I just wonder if that deck were designed in that same, yes, it can be a raised deck, but maybe the edges aren't all wood, but maybe they're rock, and maybe there's a more natural edge to the deck so you can see through it. It would sort of address, you know, the look, the feel, and Richard's concern about, I can't sit there and watch the fish swim by before I eat them.
I don't think there's any fish in there anymore.
Can't cook them all.
If I may add one additional comment, is that, again, I don't discount your Disneyland comment. I don't.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said I don't discount your Disneyland comment. I think it's, I hope I understand where you're coming from with that, that there's a natural, it's been brought up before, sort of a natural element that might be missing. And yes, it was recreational. It was somewhat whimsical. And I think, you know, looking at that deck again and having this conversation, I hope that's what we do in these meetings, is we have these constructive conversations to better the plan, right? So I think we will respond to that. The other thing I wanted to say, though, is, again, what you will see when you go out to this property is not what was there 10 years ago, and that wasn't there 20 years ago, and that wasn't there 30 years ago. So I think, again, to the point of commemorate, I get look and feel. We're trying very hard to get there. I think we should also just try to pick a decade, or at least pick a feel, you know, that we're aiming for. Because this, if you look at every decade, it goes from Disneyland to disco to, you know, overgrown stuff. So
you've been to Disneyland, right?
Many times.
Did you go to Tom Sawyer's Island when you were a young boy?
I love Tom Sawyer's Island.
Okay. So I think you need to have a little bit of Tom Sawyer's Island here. That's what I'm thinking, you know. And, you know, I haven't been to Disneyland for a long, long time. And actually, I grew up in Anaheim and would go to Disneyland all the time because all the relatives would come out and want to go to Disneyland. And Tom Sawyer's Island was a very fond memory. And probably if I went to Tom Sawyer's Island today, I'd be shocked, you know, is what I see. But anyway, I think that you need to sort of get more into the sort of that flavor of that. And I think that we can, you know, find a happy medium here.
Point taken. I think we should meet at Tom Sawyer's Island.
Commissioner Kanner, I think that would be commercially viable. I think that's what people are going to want to see when they return to the Sportsman's Lodge. There's this nostalgic feel. Somehow, if you can get the nostalgic with the contemporary.
And that was our objective, and that's what we've been working towards. And the feedback is appreciated and helpful. And I'll say it again. We will do everything we can. We don't want to design something that would not be approved by health department and building department. So there are certain, we can't have dirt. We can't, probably can't have a lot of people walking on dirt, as you do in Tom Sawyer's on. So there's some of this stuff we can't do. But again, I think we get the idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
We'll, you know, appreciate, we truly appreciate the feedback.
Okay, the city attorney has instructed me that I must reopen public comment. And much to my chagrin, I would prefer not to. But Eric Previn, you want to come forward?
Yeah, it's Eric Previn from Studio City. I reside in CD2. And whereas I appreciate your comments, sir, on the project, because I think you've made some appropriate observations, I don't appreciate your lack of appreciation of public comment, because I think at the end of the day, what we all do is try to serve those in the community, and whether you like me or not, I am from the community. I think that the Walt Disneyland...
Mr. Previn...
It's okay. The Walt Disneyland, or the Disneyland question that has arisen is a good one. I think your instinct was correct, actually, and I think Bessley agreed. Others may or may not have seen it, but I know what you meant. And you said, Tom Sawyer, I thought Frontier Town, I can't remember exactly, but the idea of fake water areas with natural surroundings and little bridges and shade and I think the shadow lines, all that is what I'm missing. And I think that you're on the right track to encourage that. I would just say to Mr. Bernstein, who made some astute observations, as did Lambert, about the scope of this work, that it's very narrow. But let's imagine the context that it was agreed to. They were worried that by not allowing the designation of this entire property to go forward, they were very worried that the specialness was going to be, you know, lost. So that's why they wrote look and feel, and why. So I think that though the developers might like to downplay, let's just, you know, rubber stamp, look at some natural bushes and trees and such, I think it is important that it fit at the property. And I thought that the Commissioner Malofsky's point about the river is also valid. I just think that this is an important dialogue, and whatever winds up going forward should reflect what that narrow but important scope was after. So thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Spindler?
So that's right. So welcome to the Brown Act. See, the problem is you've been violating it for so long, you just got used to your old criminality. But as I told you today, we got ourselves witnesses that are going to cooperate with the FBI after what happened at yesterday's city council meeting. I hope you go back and watch that 28 minutes of terror. False accusation of child endangerment, threats, and all of this stuff. The city council yesterday said, help me, Mark Few. Help me get rid of the critics. I'll defame Mr. Spindler and Mr. Herman for starters. And they said, yeah. And then they had lunch and they came back and they said, ooh, that's a bad idea. You know why it's a bad idea? It's got the money. All right. So what you were going to do now is we're going to call Mr. Krikorian's office right now, and we, the developers, want all the money back we paid Mr. Krikorian, because you did not get this approved the day you promised, and so we want refunds on all of the bribery and all of the corruption. I mean, I only got a couple of bucks here. Shit, man, this got to be $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 to go back and redesign this thing. Mr. Krikorian said you'd pass it. So what happened, and what happened was, is you read the LA Times today and found out that guy pled guilty to the FBI investigation. He's cooperating with the developers. And so now you want to try to do things right. And we really appreciate that. Look at that piece of shit wall. Did you see that piece of shit wall? And before yesterday, it would have happened. Yes, so absolutely redesign the entire thing, put these people in jail, or give them their money back. But either way, in the end, this is what's the most important thing, money in your pocket, fool. Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm now closing the public comment again. So I think we're at a point where we're in agreement that we're going to go see the property and that you're going to come back. Is that where we're at?
Yes. Could I ask? That sounds right there. Yes, we'll schedule it either for a full commission site visit or a subcommittee.
Yes.
We should be able to decide that by next week.
Yes.
May I just want to ask for clarification on procedure. So the condition that we're trying to satisfy is a review of the plans, right? A review of the building plans that include all of the garden. I think I'm looking at the deputy city attorney to make sure I'm understanding this correctly. And that the action, I don't know what the action is that we're waiting for. If today constitutes review, if the meeting out on the field constitutes review, probably not, because it has to be in a public setting, or what. So I think I absolutely would welcome all of you to come out to the property, show you all the plans of the deck, receive input, again, come back to this public hearing. I feel like we're doing something now that's sort of outside of the bounds of what the condition was on the project.
Well, let me understand something. You need our approval, right?
No.
You don't need our approval?
I don't think so. That's not how the condition reads.
Well, the condition says review, and under review, any comments would be handled by the commission on a vote of the commission. So I think a goal would be that there are comments in support of the plans, not comments that are not in support.
So maybe what you want to do is go see the council person and say, I got raked over the coals by the Cultural Heritage Commission, and I don't like it, and I want to get out from underneath these guys, and can I just get your approval and be done with it?
Is that a question?
I'm suggesting that's what you should do.
That's not what I want.
I think Kimberly wants to make a comment.
Yes.
So at this juncture, I think it's best to, if the commission is so inclined to move to continue this to allow time for further deliberation and potentially project modification.
Yeah, it's my understanding that we get to vote on this. And in order to vote on it, you've heard our comments. You've heard my comments specifically. And we're going to push this back.
I think, by the way, I would conceptualize this is that the commission's review is ongoing, and that is being held over to allow a site inspection and to inform the completion of that review.
That is very helpful.
Thanks.
Thank you. And that was my question. This has nothing to do with the council office. The condition is go talk to the Cultural Heritage Commission, which is why we're here, and we've spent a couple of months preparing for this presentation, again, with feedback from staff. Welcome the visit from all of you to the property and the feedback and coming back to this hearing and having this conversation again with some changes to the plans. All of that stuff, absolutely. I guess this is where, you know, a condition gets written in whenever it was written, 2014, not by us, not by you all, and we're trying to interpret it. And obviously, yes, I would love to have your, you know, to have your approval today, but it's not about so much knowing that we, you know, it's just having some definition or sort of definitive time frame to this, if that is helpful. But I guess my point is this has nothing to do with the council office, and I think the way Mr. Bernstein characterized it is how I would like to characterize it as well in terms of what we're doing moving forward.
So we should continue it to a date certain?
I'm sorry?
We should continue it to a date certain, so if you could look at the advance calendar and pick a date. Yes, a motion is required.
And commissioners, I think it was noted that two members will not be present on October 4th. It sounds like everyone will be present October 18th. I should mention, I will not be present on October 18th, but you'd feel free to proceed without me.
So what we're doing is we're establishing a date when we're going to reconvene on this item. Is that right?
We're continuing.
Well, I think a question for the commission would be if the full commission wants to visit the site, we would need to agendize that as part of a meeting. If it's a subcommittee, we have a little more flexibility in when we go visit the property.
Well, I definitely want to go to the site. And I don't know, could we, I know I'm on the agenda to go on a tour on next Thursday. Are we going to be anywhere near this site on Thursday?
Not particularly, no, but is that the commission's pleasure to do a subcommittee site visit?
Well, it's just easier, you know. I don't know what the other commissioners feel about going to the site.
I'd like to see it.
So subcommittee of Barry and I.
If we do a subcommittee, then we could probably go on the 13th, which is next.
No, except I can't.
Next Thursday.
He can't go on the 13th.
Our next scheduled site visits, we don't have any currently on the advanced calendar for September 27th, but that would be the next regular tour date.
That's not good for me.
I would like to go and recommend that we go on an off day, like on a Tuesday.
Okay, we can look at that. But it sounds like three commissioners now would want to visit.
I think that I would.
Well, can three commissioners go in the car?
No, I think then we would have quorum, and I think we can't do that, right?
Right, but again, we're happy to look at possibly scheduling this as a public site visit if that's the commission's desire.
But we can't go on the,
could
we can't.
Potentially be on an off day, I think.
We can't all go on the same van.
We could if we
eat breakfast. I can meet you there.
We could if we eat breakfast.
In the van?
Yeah.
We can meet there.
We could meet there and convene the meeting on site. That would be a possibility. And we could possibly look at.
Okay, why don't you do this? Why don't you send out an email of several dates that aren't on Thursday to the commissioners, and we'll respond to which date are good for us. Okay. And you pick a date, you coordinate with the owner. You'd like to be there when we go there, I'm sure.
I would love to.
Yeah.
I'd love to.
So, and then we'll all go there driving our cars independently and get there.
Okay.
Or maybe, you know, some of us might hop in your car. Two of
fine.
Us.
Yeah. And we'll coordinate with Etta as well.
We still need the motion to continue to the date certain, the main item.
Well, we don't know the date. Can we just say we're going to continue this item to a future date?
Yes, and notice will need to be provided once the date is decided.
Okay, I move that we the Sportsman Lodge is continued to a future date, which has not been determined, and once it's determined, we will make a public notice of that date.
I second Commissioner Bowman.
Roll call.
Etta Armstrong, CEA. We have a first and second motion on the floor. Commissioner Barron, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Buelna, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Kennard, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Kanner, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Malofsky, how do you vote?
Yes.
Motion passed.